Welcome to this week's episode of Until Green Card Do Us Part, a weekly show where we address the issues that immigration-based marriages made a few feet short of heaven create for American citizens and their families. I'm your host, John Sampson, CEO of CSI Consulting. This show is brought to you by CSI Consulting, a technical legal consulting firm that assists U.S. citizens and their attorneys dealing with immigration marriage fraud and other visa fraud issues since 2009. This episode is about the two-year green card and the intent of Congress when they created it, and what social justice warriors and the left managed to do in order to subvert the will of Congress and circumvent the intent of the law. A little history is in order. In 1986, Congress passed the Marriage Fraud Amendments Act, creating a two-step process for aliens to obtain full permanent residence. Prior to this change in the way marriage-based green cards worked, the U.S. citizen would petition for their alien spouse, and if approved, the alien would get a green card with no expiration date. One application, one interview, we're done. What INS found was that fully one-third of these marriage-based visas were fraudulent, which allowed the alien to get an immigration benefit, namely permanent residence, without conditions, almost immediately. Alien spouses would, in these fraud cases, immediately abandon the marriage once they got their green card, leaving the U.S. citizen high and dry, wondering what the hell just happened. That's why INS went to Congress for help. And Congress gave it to them, but the help did not last long. After the Marriage Fraud Amendment Act was implemented, getting a green card based on a marriage to a U.S. citizen became a two-step process, and it covered a two-year period. The blushing bride and groom would apply for conditional permanent residence, much like they did prior to the passage of the Marriage Fraud Amendments Act. However, the permanent residence would be conditioned for 2 years. They would submit the necessary paperwork and submit to an adjustment of status interview conducted by USCIS. Assuming conditional permanent residence was granted 90 days prior to the expiration of the two-year green card, the couple were required by law to file a second petition, Form I-751, to remove the conditions of permanent residence. In other words, they were required to file a petition jointly. And at first, the couple would have to go through a second interview to make sure the marriage was legitimate. However, with the passage of time, that second interview no longer became mandatory and became optional at the choice of USCIS. Now, you would think that this made sense. After all, Congress wanted to make sure that the marriage was a legitimate marriage and not a subterfuge to get a green card. By requiring the submission of a second set of papers showing the couple were still in a viable marital relationship and undergo a second interview, the idea was it would cut down the amount of fraud that was being perpetrated upon the INS and its succeeding agency, USCIS, and as well as the unsuspecting U.S. citizens who were the true victims of the fraud. Conditional permanent residence under the Marriage Fraud Amendment Act was conditioned on the marriage lasting at least 2 years. It was a bona fide marriage, and that the couple could provide evidence to prove the bona fides of the marriage to remove the conditions. As I said, the intent of Congress was to reduce the number of fraudulent marriages. The thought was that if there was a two-year test period and the marriage couldn't last 2 years, then the chances were pretty good that this was a fraudulent marriage. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If this was a conspiracy-based marriage fraud, it would be tough for the co-conspirators to actually get joint leases, joint bank accounts, joint insurance policies, and file joint taxes covering the two-year period. After all, they never lived together, never had intimate relations, and such an inconvenience of going through 2 years would be troublesome, or so the logic went. If this, on the other hand, was a fraudulently induced marriage, where the U.S. citizen thought this was the real deal, it would be difficult for someone to put on a show for two or more years in order to convince USCIS, and more importantly, the U.S. citizen spouse that their marriage was bona fide. And that was the whole point of this exercise. And as I said, at first it worked the way it was supposed to. But then immigration attorneys and immigrant rights organizations began seeking waivers for the joint filing requirement for the I-751. After all, it was too damn effective in rooting out fraud to their taste. At first, they asked for a waiver if the U.S. citizen died before the two-year period ended. And of course, the old INS, happy to oblige, agreed to the waiver. Now, I have a simple question. Why? If the purpose of the green card was to allow for an alien to live here in the U.S. with their spouse, and that was the only basis by which the green card was issued, and the citizen spouse died within that two-year period, why should the alien spouse be allowed to remain in the United States? After all, the whole purpose of the alien getting the green card in the first place ceased to exist with the death of the citizen spouse. Now, if the alien spouse had children who are U.S. citizens, perhaps that would be different. But an alien spouse without U.S. citizen children whose U.S. citizen spouse died within 2 years of a marriage? Are you kidding me? Why? But that certainly was not good enough for immigrant rights activists. The old saying, give them an inch, they'll take a mile, applies in this case. The second waiver to come up was, well, what if the parties get a divorce or an annulment through no fault of the alien? And again, INS caved. Yep, sure, why not? Well, I'll tell you why not. Just like the case when the USC spouse dies within 2 years, presuming the alien had nothing to do with the death, if they get a divorced, or better yet, the marriage is annulled, it eliminates the entire purpose and reason why the green card was issued in the first place. This is especially true if there are no children born to the marriage. And to top it off, the statute that controls conditional permanent residence seems to invalidate the waiver. And we'll get into that issue in the next episode, which will be next week. It also facilitated fraud, given the advent of no-fault divorce in the U.S. All the alien would have to do after abandoning the U.S. citizen is to file for divorce prior to the expiration of their two-year green card, claiming they, quote, entered the marriage in good faith, unquote, and unfortunately, the marriage just didn't work out. So can someone please tell me why the alien gets to stay in the U.S. after the whole reason and purpose for them to get the green card in the first place vanishes in within the two-year trial period? The reason is simple. It's two words that explains all of the insanity related to immigration. Those two words are, quote, social justice, unquote. Those who believe in open borders, those who are self-described immigrant rights activists, believe coming to this country as an immigrant and remaining in this country as an immigrant is somehow a social justice right or a human right. The law says it's a privilege, but activists demand it should be a right. So INS and its successor agency, USCIS, have allowed waivers of the joint filing requirement for the I-751, thereby circumventing the entire congressional intent of the Marriage Fraud Amendment Act by establishing not one, not even two, but four waivers for the joint filing requirement. You heard me correctly. I said four waivers. You've heard the first two. The third and the fourth ones are the, quote, real social justice, unquote, waivers that outshine the other two. What can they possibly be, you ask? It's the domestic violence or abuse waiver and the extreme hardship waiver. If an alien who has a two-year conditional green card merely alleges through any credible evidence they are the victim of abuse, they can seek a waiver of the joint filing requirement on the I-751. Or if you can't believe this one, they simply claim that if they were forced to leave the United States, it would cause them an extreme hardship. We come back to the same question. If the purpose and the intent of the green card vaporizes within that two-year period, why are they allowed to remain in the U.S.? Now, this comes under the umbrella heading of the Violence Against Women Act, or VAWA. And we'll get into that part of the immigration law in later episodes. There is no formal definition for extreme hardship. It has evolved over the years through Board of Immigration Appeals decisions and litigation. One person's extreme hardship is another's inconvenience. As you can imagine, an immigrant would very vaguely and loosely define extreme hardship in order to make it fit their individual situation. So this is how the process to remove the conditions on a conditional permanent resident green card, according to USCIS, goes. Generally, you must apply to remove the conditions or permanent residence with your U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident spouse, which is called filing jointly, if you are still married to the same U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident after 2 years, which is the original intent of the Marriage Fraud Amendment Act, or you may file Form 751 without your U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident spouse and seek a waiver of the joint filing requirement if your deportation or removal would result in extreme hardship, or you entered into the marriage in good faith and not to circumvent immigration laws, but your spouse subsequently died, or you entered into the marriage in good faith and not to circumvent immigration laws, but the marriage ended by annulment or divorce, and you were not at fault in failing to file a timely petition, or you entered into your marriage in good faith and not to circumvent the immigration laws, but during the marriage, you or your child were battered or subjected to extreme cruelty committed by your U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident spouse, and you were not at fault in filing a joint petition. All of these waivers are based on the misguided premise that immigrating to the country is somehow a right and not the privilege the law specifically says it is. 68-plus years of American immigration jurisprudence has repeatedly and consistently upheld the concept that immigrating to this country and remaining in this country as an immigrant is a privilege and not a right. Yet the left and rhino Republicans mistakenly believe that it should be a right. So in a nutshell, Congress in 1986 enacts legislation that was intended to help prevent marriage fraud, only to have the INS and the succeeding USCIS thumb their noses at Congress and create waivers that totally defeat the congressional intent of the law Congress passed. Are you now beginning to get the idea that the powers to be do not want effective immigration laws, and they certainly don't want enforcement resulting in aliens being removed? And this was all before Joey Bag of Donuts Biden was anointed El Presidente. This goes back to the Clinton years, the Bush years, the Obama years, and now the Joey Bag of Donuts / Kamala Harris years. God help us. So now you're getting more pieces to the puzzle. Next week, we'll start looking at how all of what was just discussed can be used to perpetrate a marriage fraud resulting in false allegations of domestic violence, rape, or other crimes, all so that a foreign national can get the brass ring called the green card based on a marriage made a few feet short of heaven. If you believe you are the victim of immigration marriage fraud or are facing fabricated allegations of domestic violence or worse, made by a foreign-born spouse or intimate partner, contact CSI Consulting at 719-368-2626. That's 719-368-2626. Or you can email CSI Consulting at csiinvestigations, with an S at the end, at neteecin, that's netecin.net. Until next week, I'm your host, John Sampson.